Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Matthew. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study of the Gospel of Matthew. And we're in chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. We will see the Lord denounce the scribes and the Pharisees in this portion of Scripture. And he does so in a very convincing and convicting manner. At the end of chapter 23, we will see the humanity of Jesus Christ as he weeps and mourns over the city of Jerusalem and its inhabitants. Verse 1 of Matthew 23, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude, and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Jesus' last condemnation of the Pharisees before his coming arrest and crucifixion is seen here in chapter 23, and it fills the entire chapter, as I've already said, to the very end, where he mourns over Jerusalem. This represents Christ's final and official rejection of those Pharisees at the temple, and the temple was the headquarters for the Pharisees. It was the stronghold for the Pharisees. It was their stronghold of influence, security, religiosity, and all that sort of thing. It made them who they were, that is, the temple and what they did in it. Now, you can read of these same words, or similar words anyway, in the denunciation and rebuke of the Pharisees in Mark chapter 12, verses 38 and 40, and Luke chapter 20, verses 45 through 47. He says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." That is the cathedra. That's a K, cathedra. It means the seat of authority. The Pope in Rome sits in a seat of authority for Roman Catholics, and it is cathedra. And when he speaks either cathedra, meaning on the throne, or ex cathedra, meaning without the benefit of the authority of the papal office. It's interesting how the word cathedra is used even to this very day. But what this means is it's Moses' cathedra. It's Moses' seat of authority. It represents the chair of the synagogue. That symbolizes the origin and authority of their teaching. Remember, when they would read Scripture, they would stand, but when they taught, they would sit. We're talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and the various rabbis. And so it was the synagogue chair, the symbol of the authority of their teaching, the origin and authority. "All therefore, whatsoever they bid, you observe, and that observe and do, but do not ye after their works." In other words, what they tell you to do, that's what you do, but don't follow them by their example, for they say and do not. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They enjoyed the authority and the notoriety that they received by being Pharisees and by being leaders in the synagogue and in the temple. Notice this making broad their phylacteries, verse 5. Notice their hypocrisy. They tell you what to do, but they will not do it themselves. Now, hypocrisy is one thing, phylactery is something else, enlarging the borders of garments, that's another thing. So let's go with hypocrisy first. They taught people what to do, but they themselves did not obey their own teachings. Now, we've heard that in political circles quite a bit, but we also see it in religious circles, and unfortunately even in Christian circles. We see those who would want to be leaders, but they themselves do not follow the teachings that they are putting forth for others. When that happens, run as fast as you can away from them and allow the Lord to use somebody close to them to help them understand the error of their ways. And if they are indeed the Lord's own, they will come around. And if they're not, they won't. Now, this amulet called the phylactery was a metal box. It was a metal cylinder. And what you would do is you'd roll up a little scroll of a verse or verses, and you would put them in this metal container. And then that was put into a leather box, and the leather box was a cube. And this black cube was then put on their foreheads and to the back of their right hands, following what's given in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Normally, these phylacteries and the prayer garments, the borders of their garments being enlarged, would have been worn for prayers only. But the Pharisees apparently wore them all the times. And that's because they wanted people to see them and to know how wonderfully godly they were, which they were not. Now, the borders of the garments are the fringes of, or tassels, of the prayer shawls. And that was what they were wearing in obedience to Numbers 15, 38, and 39. Prayer shawls, of course, are available these days. If you want to buy them, you certainly can. Every time I've been in Israel, I've considered buying a prayer shawl. I think I may have bought one, gave it to somebody as a gift. But these prayer shawls are what they wear as they make prayer, and they put that prayer shawl over their head and down their shoulders. And these tassels are part of the border, the edge, the end of their garments. It's what the woman with the issue of blood had touched, the very hem of Christ's garment, the border of his garment, one of these tassels from the prayer regalia, prayer shawl. It says that they love the uppermost rooms at feasts. That would be the places of honor. It would be the chief places, the spots at the front of the room where you're next to the folks that are being honored and that sort of thing. And it would be a seat of honor at feasts. That's what they seek. It's what they want. And they like the chief seats in the synagogues. They want to always be seen wherever they go. They want to be seen. They want to be revered. They want the marketplace to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. But he goes on to say in verse 8, but be not ye called Rabbi, For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Now the word rabbi means my teacher, or it could mean my great one. And we know in a spiritual sense, we're not to call anyone father. We're not anyone rabbi in the spiritual sense. Now the master is the guide, the leader, the teacher, the Lord. And so what he says is, don't call anyone rabbi. Don't let yourself be called rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Now this is spiritually speaking here. This is not physically speaking, but this is spiritually speaking. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Now, what is a servant? A servant is a minister or an attendant, one that serves. And so the greatest among us should be a servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and all things by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I want to stop there at verse 24 for just a moment. Just a moment. This is so hard a saying that Christ has given. And he's doing this to the Pharisees, to the scribes, and calling them hypocrites. Woe unto you. These woes are repeated and repeated and repeated. He says in verses 13 through 15, you close the doors to the kingdom. You put stumbling blocks in the way of the sinner who wants to come to repentance and be converted. He says, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, extort money from the helpless and put them in debt and bondage, but then you make an outward show of religion while you yourself are a thief. The greater damnation, it's a more severe sentence of damnation will come to these, you shall receive the greater damnation, you hypocrites. And then in verse 15, he says, you're going everywhere to make a proselyte, to bring someone into the Jewish religion for some sort of personal gain. It's a sad situation. May the Lord protect us and keep us from doing any such thing as that. And then verses 16 through 22, the verses illustrate the Pharisees' false teaching in regard to oaths, and Christ himself said that we should not use oaths. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. The sanctuary of the temple was being used as an oath binder. They were swearing by the temple. How silly. How wrong. The Lord teaches that all oaths are equally binding. No man can expect to escape the consequence of an oath before God, before man, by making distinctions on these picayune things that have no difference and no meaning of difference. Is the gold greater, or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Is the gift on the altar greater, or is the altar that sanctifies the gift? So if you swear by the altar, you swear by everything. If you swear by the temple, you swear by everything. If you swear by heaven, you swear by the throne of God and by God himself. How ridiculous these Pharisees were, and how ridiculous some people are with their swearing and their profanity, even in this our own century. Notice verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, that is, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. A tithe or tenth of all the produce, according to the law of Moses, was to be given for the use of the priests and the Levites, and we see that in Leviticus 27:30. Several pieces of mint grow, species of mint, I should say, grow in Palestine, according to those that have written about it. Anise is probably dill, so we have mint, and we have dill, and we have cumin. Now, dill grew wild, and it grew in gardens, just as it does today. And they used dill in medicines more than in cooking at that time. Now, the cumin seed, it looks like a caraway seed or something such as that, and it was a spice, but it was very small. All these things were small. And so the Pharisees, according to Christ, looked at the small matters, but forsook the big matters, law, judgment, mercy, faith. And then in verse 24, he says, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat, and that might be better, strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. In other words, they would make sure the gnat would not be in their food or their drink, but if it were possible, they would have swallowed a camel, because they let the big stuff get by and they worked out the little things. The Jews always used a strainer of some sort, whether it be cloth or metal or whatever they could find. They strained wine before they drank it because of all the dregs, and they wanted to avoid anything unclean or common as they saw it, and so they just strained it out. However, the Pharisees were extorting from those that they were supposed to be serving. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Ye blind Pharisee, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. And so we should not strain at the little things and allow the big things to get through. We should not have a life full of extortion and excess as the Pharisees did. They took advantage of everyone they came in contact with.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.